Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. Well, this is the last show of the year, and I'm going to start the show a bit differently this evening. I would like to share with you what's happened with the show since I started 3 years ago. Seems like yesterday, but 3 years ago, I didn't even know what Blog Talk Radio was, and I got myself organized and signed up for this station that you are listening to. Since that time, God has been good. This show is now heard on 9 different stations, channels, whatever you want to call it. It's on 9 different podcast stations. It's heard worldwide. I have thousands of people listening to this show. Would you believe it? In addition to which, I now have advertisers. And I didn't start out doing this to have advertisers. But as I went along, the show grew. And I have 2 major advertisers. And I have several local ones. By local, I mean anywhere in the world. People generally listen to this show as it is archived. They listen at their own convenience during their day. This show, I have followers. You're going to find this hard to believe. But it makes sense because people read my blog all over the world that I write every day. I have followers in Thailand, India. I'm big in South Africa, okay? The number of people who read my blog and listen to this show in South Africa is absolutely amazing. And, of course, all over the country. I want to thank you for joining me, for listening to me, perhaps telling your friends, why don't you listen to this guy? I appreciate it very much. Without you, I could not have reached the point where I am now. In addition to which, and to the day after tomorrow's New Year's Eve, I wish you all a very happy new year. I wish to each of you a good year, a good, healthy, and happy one. Not all years are good. I'm 80 years old. I know you have great years, you have poor years, you have ordinary years. You never know what calamity is going to befall you, and sometimes you don't know what joy is going to befall you. I wish you all a year where it's only plus, 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 joy and good things. Again, God bless. Happy New Year. Now into the show. My Cock Life column this week, which hits the newsstands tomorrow, is called Political Sexcapades. You heard me, sexcapades, S-E-X, Political Sexcapades. And I was driven to write it, motivated to write it, by the discourse that has been going on this past week between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. It's a sex battle, and it's going to be a major sex battle, I believe, before it's over. It is just warming up. You will recall about a week ago, Hillary said, Trump is a sexist. I think he is, by the way, because, you know, he's done everything. He's always knocking women. I mean, he knocks with that reporter in the first debate they had. He thought she was bleeding from, she was having her period in effect, he said to her, not using that word. And he says other things. He's just a nasty man. I think he's nasty to male and females, but he has gone overboard with regard to women, and he speaks about them with very bad taste. And so she says, you're a sexist. Well, he doesn't come back and says, she's a sexist. He comes back and says, hey, you know, be careful. Those words, exact words, be careful. You know, if you want to talk about sex and sexist, be careful. You know, we, in effect, saying we all have, there are things about you that I will reveal or can reveal. Well, he threw the gauntlet down. And I don't know where this thing's going to go. I can tell you this sex thing is not going to die, okay? Trump will use it. And if anywhere there is anything in writing or on a video where Clinton is doing something of a sex nature or being spoken of in a sex nature, if it's mentioned in a book or a newspaper article, he will bring it up because the way he operates is if it's out there someplace, well, it's written, all right, must be true. Everyone knows, but it was written. It was in the book. It was here. It was there. And he's already started. He started with Monica Lewinsky. He said yesterday, be careful, he said to Hillary. I understand your husband's going to start speaking on your behalf in January. You know, you want to call me a sexist? He's a sexist. Look what he and Monica Lewinsky in the White House. Well, I want to analyze this a bit. I'm just giving you some highlights out of this article, this column. This one's terrific, by the way. Read it if you can. Political sexcapades. Many tried to impeach Clinton for the Monica Lewinsky affair. But, you know, in the end, what goes around comes around, and a lot of them got hurt by it. Let's start, because everyone's got skeletons in their closets. You and me, we think we don't, but there's always something someplace you did that's a little off color, not necessarily of a sexual thing, but there's something that can be turned and twisted and developed. Newt Gingrich, he was Speaker of the House at the time. He went after our man, Bill Clinton, big time. And now he's saying, hey, look, he's having sex with Monica Lewinsky. She's an intern or on the federal payroll, and she's orally copulating him in the Oval Room, okay, in the Oval Office. Well, while he was saying this about Clinton, Newt Gingrich was in the process of having a long-term relationship with a House staffer, a young lady, 23 years old, his junior. They were having sex, because she works for the House of Representatives, in his office, just like Clinton had sex, whatever it may be. I don't know if there was oral copulation, actual intercourse, or what, but he was having sex. And what happened? Because of that and some other things, he had to resign. Then came Robert Livingston. The Republican conference said, we got to come up with a clean guy to be speaker now, and they came up with Robert Livingston, father, grandfather, good man, and they said, we're going to elect him as the next speaker to replace Gingrich, and before he could even be sworn in, it came out that he had multiple affairs, and he resigned from the House of Representatives. Dennis Hastert. He was Speaker for many, many years of the House of Representatives. He is the one who now replaced Livingston as the candidate for speakership and did become the Speaker. Well, just this, nothing happened back then, but this year, it was discovered that while Hastert was a high school teacher and coach, he sexually abused three boys. And one of them he has paid hush money to over the years to the tune of $1.7 million. What, it's a disgrace. I feel sorry for the guy. He's got to be my age or older. Anyhow, he was federally indicted for manipulation of funds or something. And that's the story with him. What goes around comes around. He voted to impeach Clinton. Stephen LaTourette, he voted to impeach Clinton. He was married at the time. His chief of staff was Jennifer Laptuk. Well, what's he doing? He's having a major affair with her for years. And, of course, they're doing the deed in his congressional offices, he and his chief of staff. And there were many more. They're in my article. You can read it. The purpose of this article is, let me put it this way, people who live in glass houses should not throw stones. And the Bible says, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And the Bible also says, as ye sow, so shall ye reap. And was it Justice Timberlake had a song he wrote several years ago titled, What Goes Around Comes Around. Now, let's get back into Trump and Clinton here. They have skeletons in their closet. It's impossible not to have skeletons in your closet, as I said. Trump had affairs during his first and second marriages with two different women, at the very least. He was married. Clinton, now I'm not saying these things are true, but I'm going to show you where they're out there. Clinton has been accused of bisexuality going way back to when her husband was governor. And what do you, It may be true, it may not be. The problem is, a couple of years ago, a woman wrote a book, and in the book, she said she had a sexual affair relationship, they did it but once, with Hillary Clinton in the White House when Clinton was president, okay? I can see Trump now, you know, this woman wrote this book, I never saw you issue a denial, if it's in writing, it must be true, I don't know, though. And what do you think, people, he's going to say? And you got something like that over there. Bill Clinton, he says he's going to now talk about Bill Clinton, who's going to start giving speeches for Hillary. Well, something came out this past week, and I don't know if the two are interrelated. He's saying, I'm going to bring Bill into this, et cetera. Our press, our media, does not tell us everything. I've been saying this for years. We don't get the facts because our media, our TV, our newspapers, our radio stations are controlled by corporate America now. They are no longer controlled by media people, media businesses, news businesses. But something has hit in Great Britain this past week, and it's in the papers. And it's on TV over there, and it's being talked about on the continent. You don't get it here. You got to go to the British news, etc. And it says this, and I apologize for saying this because I cannot believe it's true. Therefore, I should not say it. But Donald Trump's going to say it, I'm telling you, that Clinton is a pedophile. Yep. And the reason Clinton is a pedophile, that he took trips to a certain Caribbean island several times between 2002 and 2005. The island, this is the British news this past week, the island is owned by Jeffrey Epstein, who is a convicted pedophile, convicted. Palm Beach, I think 2012, 14-year-old girl, he gave her $300 to do the dirty deed, 14 years old. Since that time, he has been known to be a procurer of young persons for sex activities with adults, male and female. Now, I'm not just talking about the young kids, male and female. Adults going to play at his island, a male and female, with the young people. It's about, the charge is generally $15,000. Remember Prince Andrew when he was here several months ago? He had to hurry home. Why did he have to hurry home? The news said, hey, he had sex with a young lady, 17 years old, who was a sex slave. He's a pedophile because that's under the age, 17. And he paid $15,000 to have sex with this girl. And this all happened on Epstein's Island in the Caribbean with Prince Andrew. There's a black book involved. It sounds like a movie, but there's a black book. It's telephone numbers. And the prosecutors, the investigators of the 2012 Palm Beach incident involving Epstein confiscated and got a hold of his black book, quote unquote. This is the telephone numbers and how to reach people. He had listed there 21 different contact numbers for Bill Clinton, okay? This looks bad, and nothing may be there. But can you see Trump taking this and blowing it out of proportion? I can. The interesting thing, and I don't know if this is true, but it's reported that Trump's name is in the black book also. All this, good, bad, or indifferent, is going to come out, especially because Trump is involved. He loves dealing with this garbage, all right? You know, all over the world, sex is sex. People don't take sex as seriously as we do in this country elsewhere. National figures, elected people, they have sex. And people sort of take it in stride and say, that's nature, that's the way it is. In this country, we go sex crazy, whether it's the Puritans who and put it into our beings, and we still have it today. We are very conscious of sex and are quick to say, bad boy, bad girl, you must be punished. No sex incident can go unpunished, okay? And I think that's wrong, that we make it sensational. That's, I guess, what I'm trying to say. Now, today, I'm staying with this just for a few minutes longer. Please bear with me. And again, I hope you're not offended. Where are we today with sex in this country? Same-sex marriage is legal. Transgenderism is accepted, okay, in 30-plus states. Within a matter of 3 to 5 years, it's going to be legally recognized as a third sex, male, female, and transgenders. Why is it recognized already in 30-some-odd states? Because people know this is the way it is. There are people who may be a boy, but they think they're a girl, etc. People live unmarried together for years and have children. They never get married. They raise their family. They're good people, but they live in sin. They never marry. Heterosexual divorce is no longer a bar to the presidency. You can be divorced and still be president. Look at Reagan. Heterosexual divorce is no longer a bar. Bisexuality doesn't seem to bother anyone. It's talked about. People say, I'm bisexual. With pride, I'm bisexual. Because sex seems to be accepted today, more and more as we get into the younger and younger people. My generation, I don't know about these things. Homosexuality is no longer a problem in the military. You know, people openly say, male and female, I'm a homosexual, I'm gay. And the government, their service can do nothing about it because they're protected now. It's a new world, okay? It's a new world out there. Certain things that weren't accepted yesterday are accepted today. Again, think 10 years ago, did you ever think you were going to have gay marriage, same-sex marriage? What I fear is this is going to be a gutter campaign that we're going to have to put up with, and I blame Trump, because he's the kind, you got to draw a line someplace, and you don't go over it, and there is no line with him. Okay, I'm done with sexcapades. Read my article, you'll enjoy it, trust me. I talked 2 years ago, I started talking, and I wrote a couple of times about this in my blog, that we're heading for a cashless society in this country. Cashless society. Now, what do I mean? No longer are we going to have bills, dollar bill, $5 bill, $10 bill, $20 bill. Paper money's gone. No longer are we going to have coins, penny, nickel, dime, quarter. No longer. We're not going to have money as we know it. Everyone's going to use a credit card. It's really in form going to be a debit card. You pay for everything with your card, and you don't need cash. And it'll be charged off to your account wherever you use it. There will no longer be an ATM machine because you don't need the cash. You just use your card. It will be accepted everywhere. You don't need to get cash out of the machine. Sweden already is cashless. Denmark's on its way. Its goal is to eradicate cash by 2030. It's beginning. I'm going to tell you this. I spoke about a year ago about this, I think on this show, and I said, they had this big meeting someplace in Europe, all the top bankers, finance people in the world, and the whole purpose of this five-day conference was, how are we going to get from a cashless society to a card society? We must eliminate cash. And the real purpose of this was not, they're going to tell us, the banks are going to say, it's going to make it easier for you. You got this one little card in your pocket. You always know you can use it anywhere. That isn't why they're doing it. That's a crock. The reason they're doing it is because the banks want absolute control over your money and my money. Absolute control. When I talk about it, I'm talking about deposits, savings, and checking accounts. They want to know if they can grab your money. All they have to do is press a button. Now, in the last recession, 2008, which I think we're still in, not to the same degree as 2008, some of the banks had runs on them. No longer will there be a run on the banks. That's what the bank fears. Fear something bad's going to happen economically, and the people are going to run the banks to take their cash out before the bank closes. They don't have to worry anymore, the banks. They press a computer button, and your card isn't good anymore, okay, until they want it to be good. There is even, I'll tell you how far this is going to go, and I haven't talked about this before, I recently came across an article that said this game, as I call it, will extend to safety deposit boxes. And I say, how the hell are they going to know if I've got cash in my box and how much? You will sign a statement when you get your box, and if you already have it, you will sign the statement saying, in effect, I keep no cash in my box. And somehow this gives the bank additional rights over your money because you never deposited it. You left it in a safety deposit box. All I'm saying is a cashless society is coming. It's going to be here quicker in the United States than it is in Sweden. And when it does, don't buy the garbage they're going to hand you that this is better for you. It's a screw job. The whole purpose is to gain control swiftly over your money if they want to. And if they want to, somehow, for some reason, they will. Okay, now, I want to get to transgenders for a moment. Transgenders, they're people who are born of one sex, but internally another. Maybe born male, have a penis, but thinks he is a girl, and honestly believes he is a girl. And you have women, young girls, who are born as girls with all the physical attributes, breasts, etc., and no penis, they have a vagina, but they honestly think they're a boy. And this is heavy. I never realized how heavy this is. I think 3% of our population, I read somewhere about a year ago, are transgenders, okay? And laws are changing to help, not accommodate. I have to use the word help here. Like, you know, in California 2 years ago, Governor Brown signed legislation permitting in schools, any public school in California, you used whatever bathroom you wanted to. If you were a boy and you felt you were a girl and you wanted to use the girls' room, use the girls' room. If you were a girl and thought you were a boy, use the boys' room. And everyone thought that was terrible, but that's becoming the law in all the states. I told you, more than 30 states are protecting transgenders now. New York's the new one. New New York law. If you violate any of the rules I'm going to share with you for a moment, you can be fined up to $250,000. If you intentionally, as an employer, if you intentionally fail to use the individual's preferred name, pronoun, or title. I mean, if he's John because he's a male, but he wants to be called Jane, you got to call him Jane. If he's a he, but he wants to be a she, you got to use the pronoun she. And if he's a male and he wants to be a female, you got to say you're a woman. All right, that's the way the law is. Whatever the individual wants is now what you must label them and relate to them as, whatever the transgender prefers. If the employer refuses to let transgenders use the bathroom of their choice, this is going to be big. They can be fined up to $250,000. In other words, the male worker who thinks he's a girl and wants to use the ladies' room can, and you can't stop him. Imposing dress codes that are anti-transgenderism. If a man wants to wear a dress to work, that's his right. And if a woman wants, they do wear pants now, but want to attire themselves as if they were a man, that is her right because she's a he in her mind. Okay? You can't impose dress codes violate transgenderism. And this, I think this is the worst, and I don't know how this got slipped into the New York law. Employers must provide employees with health benefits. So far, all right. Now, for gender reassignment, that means I'm a boy, but I want to be a girl and I have this big operation, and vice versa. Not only for the gender reassignment surgery, but also for the post-operative treatment. I'm not saying it's good, bad, whatever. This is the way we're going in our society, okay? And it's going to be. And transgenderism, again, in 3 to 5 years, it's going to be like same-sex marriage. It will be the law of the land in effect. And they've said, many have written, we are going to have a third sex. It's going to be male, females, and transgenders. California. We're going to California. You are not going to believe what I'm going to share with you, or maybe you are. I don't know. California, at one time in their existence, permitted, exercised the forced sterilization of Latino women. Spanish immigrants were sterilized against their will, against their knowledge in many instances. This went on from 1909 to 1963 by law. By law, what was generally done if a Latino woman was pregnant, following the delivery, the doctor cut her tubes in the operating room, never asked her permission, and told her about it afterwards. Men were required by law, Latino men, judge says you got to do this, to have forced vasectomies. Would you believe? Forced vasectomies. It is estimated that 20,000 women were sterilized under this law in California from 1909 to 1963. Why was this done? What is the justification for this? What did the state of California say at the time to justify this activity? The state of California said the legislature is exercising population control. This is legitimate population control. Forced sterilization is necessary for, listen to this, forced sterilization is necessary to keep welfare expenditures to a minimum, to keep welfare expenditures to a minimum. The great state of California at one time did a big misstep and hurt a lot of people, discriminated, et cetera, with this. Thank God they saw the light in 1963, but I think that's awful late in the years to have even realized they had done wrong. Staying with California for a moment, present day activity. Things that happen generally happen today, since World War II happened in California first and then spread across the nation. There is a petition presently before the legislature to have a referendum. Go to the polls. The people will vote on the issue as to whether they will require legislators to wear on their jackets emblems representing the seven major contributors to their campaigns. We're talking about corporations, union, not-for-profit groups, etc. They must always wear, this is like, you know, the adultery thing they did in the Scarlet Letter. They must always wear the emblem so that people know who supports them. It's a drive by a certain group in California for transparency, and the reason for it is, they believe this group, it will be the beginning of the end of political corruption in our country. It may be a start. I don't know, but I'll tell you this. If they get permission to have a referendum on this, I believe it will pass, and then all hell's going to break loose in California and probably other states. Homeland Security. They're a bunch of nuts. These people are protecting us. Six months ago, they had their own people go through security in airports, and it was discovered, and they had people carrying guns. 95% of the guns were never discovered when they went through airport security. Isn't that wild? Well, here's what they want to do now. You can't use your driver's license anymore. This is what they're pushing for. It hasn't happened yet. You don't use your driver's license. You got to carry like your passport because that'll better identify you. They feel the driver's license is not secure enough for boarding airliners. I say they want it because they're dying in this government. And all governments, they have everybody have a certain type card or identification so they can follow everyone when they want to. The government can follow everyone when they want to. Well, my friends, that's the show for this week. Again, I wish you a happy new year. I thank you for joining me. I don't have to tell you, this show is archived, as you know, on Blog Talk Radio, YouTube, and it's linked to my Key West website. I wrote a book, The World Upside Down. If you like this show, buy my book. If you don't like this show, don't buy my book. Again, a happy new year, and I thank you for everything you've done by listening to me over the last 3 years. Good night, and I'll see you next week.